Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 122 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the witchy, wild, and free creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And speaking of Blog Talk Radio, I just called into my own show three different times, twice for my landline, which is the phone I always use to call into my show, but it sounded very strange, very fuzzy and weird. So if this episode records that way and you can't really hear me, maybe I will redo it tomorrow or something. I don't know, but I'm going to do my best today and see how it goes on my cell phone. It sounded really fuzzy and weird on my cell phone too, though. I'm not going to lie. So bear with me if you're listening live. I actually love listening to podcasts on iTunes. So if ever, for future reference, if you're not able to catch the show live on Blog Talk, you can subscribe on iTunes and listen on the go when you're driving to work or doing dishes or jogging or whatever it is you do on the go. That's what I do. Although I will say lately that I have been so impatient in getting to Ann or Kelly's weekly, forget what it's called, astrology weather report. The weekly weather by Ann or Kelly. I've been like so just like, every Sunday, give me the weather report, Ann, that I will go out of my way to listen to that live. But otherwise, I just load up my iPod and listen when I have the time. Also, speaking of iTunes, let me see if I can drag this up because it was really cute. Down here somewhere. Oh, yay! Another one of you fine people left me a review, and I am going to be rather shameless now in reading it to you because it is super duper nice and mega flattering, and I feel a little bit dorky reading it out loud, like I'm maybe tooting my own horn just a little too loudly. But it's not me tooting, it's Rochelle. Rochelle tooted, everybody. Ooh! And it sounded like this. 5 stars, life changing, yay! I've been listening to Jo's podcast for over a year. Her recent 2-part podcast on body and soul, the ultimate self-care, really rocked my world. Joanna speaks effortlessly on topics, often citing multiple witchy sources in an upbeat yet down-to-earth style. Joanna is very real and shares personal experiences and challenges she's working on right along with her audience. Jo's honesty, humor, and kooky personality rock you right along on your journey towards spiritual fulfillment. Yay! Of course, that's what I want to hear. That's what I'm aiming for. So I'm excited that you thought that, Rochelle, and that you publicly posted that. Thank you so much. And how nice is that? But Rochelle is also one of the most active and supportive members in the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year group on Facebook, and she really goes out of her way to make everyone feel really great there, which is just so appreciated and in alignment with what we've been doing on my public page this week with the Seen and Heard Challenge. There's just like a community brewing, this witchy community that I'm really excited about. And it's just so fun to read your personal stories. It's moving. It makes me cry and inspires me. So thank you to those of you that have been participating in the Seen and Heard Challenge. You're amazing. And then one other thing about Rochelle, and then I will totally stop embarrassing her, and this is actually more embarrassing for me, I think, than her, but I've actually worked with her behind the scenes because she was my very first regular coaching client and really a major catalyst in getting me to start coaching at all. And I was sharing with her one time that I used to sleep on purpose. in the daytime when I wasn't tired as a means of escape. And she was like, isn't that just depression? Like, there's just like a big pause too before she said it. And I was like, yeah, I guess it is. I guess. And I was depressed at the time, but napping with intention, which is how I thought of it, it was this really creative, witchy way I had of escaping into my own fantasy land. And I would experiment a lot with lucid dreaming and all kinds of trippy occult things. And I really created this super unhealthy fantasy life because reality was just too much to bear. It was like depression in disguise because it didn't feel depressing. I know I've described to you the feeling I had of being depressed, where I felt like I had lead in my veins and I was so heavy and I couldn't get up. But this didn't feel like this. It felt like what I was doing, it was thrilling and inspiring, and like I was unlocking all of the secrets of the universe in this very delusional way. Or what? Looking back, I don't even know. It certainly wasn't productive, and it didn't really serve anyone besides my own ego, who was utterly delighted by my incredible powers of magic. And I see people now doing this online. They kind of overindulge in these wild escape fantasies like I was doing back in the day, and then they share it on YouTube. Thank God YouTube was not a thing back then. I'm so glad. But it is now, and people are sharing this kind of escapism online, for instance, and other escape artists find them there and validate their behavior, and they all become stuck in what looks to me like mental illness together. So it becomes a kind of mutual admiration escape artist society. And that is largely what I was trying to warn against in last week's episode when I was talking about this certain faction of the New Age community that feels this need to constantly ascend and reach higher and higher levels of what? Denial of this physical reality? That's what it looks like to me. And maybe that's because I am projecting my own personal experience onto that community, which very well could be. So I invite you now to use discernment in listening to me or anyone for that matter, because we're all only human. And as I always say, I certainly do not know it all. And I do not claim to know it all, although I have been called a know it all on more than one occasion. Thanks a lot for this radio show, because it gives me an excuse to share all of the knowledge I've gathered and all of the fascinating connections I've made with people who actually want to hear it and don't call me a know-it-all for wanting to share this stuff. And I think that that label of being a know-it-all, it really hurt me in a lot of ways, because the behavior that would get that label, it didn't feel like bragging to me, or it didn't feel like it was coming from a place of wanting to feel superior. I've just always been a person who is very passionate about researching and new ideas and exploring. And then I love to return back to the tribe to share all of my kick-ass discoveries. I have been like this since I was a little kid, and it comes from a place of joy and excitement. It's like, oh my God, look what I found under this rock. Can you believe it? I was just excited to share. But the tribe I grew up in, they didn't want to hear it. And, they would say things like, I was too much. And so I tried to make myself less. Which brings me around to the subject of today's episode, Cold, Dead Fantasies and the Fire of Life. As I said on Facebook this morning, you need friends and loved ones, a tribe, as I keep saying, who support your creative life. Your creative life includes your spirituality and dreams, especially if you are a witch. And because this episode and every episode in July is a part of this month's theme of witches who run with the wolves, I also shared a quote there by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves. And she said, being with real people who warm us, who endorse and exalt our creativity is essential to the flow of our creative life. And it seems like I'm contradicting myself here, doesn't it? With calling out the Mutual Admiration Escape Artist Society in almost the same breath that I'm saying that you need friends and loved ones who support your creative life. Again, this is a subject that calls for discernment. Is there is a fine line between a tribe who reflects back at you your healthy creative pursuits and one that keeps you locked in a fantasy land that is anything but nourishing to your soul. In fact, there's a world of difference between the two. So maybe saying that there's a fine line between them is not true. Although it may seem like it at first, with maturity, that fine line becomes like the Grand Canyon of distinction. And there is no comparison between the two, which is frustrating to hear, I think, maybe when you're young, because that discernment really does come with maturity in a lot of cases. Unless you're raised in a really healthy environment, these are things that a lot of us, myself included, have to learn the hard way, you know? And that's what Clarissa Pinkola Estes, what a name. I mean, I've had to say that so many times this month, and it's such a mouthful, but it's so her. She writes like her name, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, PhD. But that's kind of what she's talking about in this chapter in which she tells the tale of the little match girl. It's what that story demonstrates with such starting clarity. And it's a short but highly impactful story and one of my favorites from Women Who Run With the Wolves. So I'm not going to read this to you like I did with The Ugly Duckling. If you missed that, I did my very first SoundCloud audio stream last week because I wanted to share The Ugly Duckling, and I didn't want to take up a whole episode here reading a story to you, and that one is actually pretty long. I think it came in at like 16 minutes or so. So if you listened to that, I would love to know what you thought. I think it's kind of a strange thing that I've read somebody else's story, but I wanted to share that with you, and I mean, of course, you can just get the book and read it from the book, too, if you don't have it. And I'm not going to read The Little Match Girl to you, even though it's a much shorter story. My gardeners are here. Holy cow. The room I'm in is totally uninsulated. And I hear them raking, which means next is coming. The power tools. Okay, let's see if I can hold my concentration. So The Little Match Girl, in a nutshell, it's about this little girl who, it's interesting, it doesn't say her mom and dad died. It says she neither had a mother nor father, and she lived in a dark forest on the edge of a village. And she learned that she could buy matches for a half of a penny there, and then that she could sell them on the street for a full penny. And if she bought enough matches, she could then buy herself a crust of bread and return to her little fort in the forest and, you know, sleep in all the clothes she had and survive for just another night. And one year, the winter came and it was extremely cold and she had no shoes and she had no coat and she was dying, to make a long story short. And so she told herself, you know, I have these matches, so I can light a fire to warm myself. But she had no wood, and she had no kindling, so she decided to light the matches anyway. And, you know, I cry a lot. I always say, oh, this almost made me cry, or this made me cry, or I'm getting choked up. I don't know why I wear my emotions so close to the surface like this. One of the stories in Women Who Run With the Wolves that actually made me cry. It's just so sad because the little match girl, she sits there going through her matches to try to keep herself warm. And, you know, she's in the snow. You know how snow reflects light and twinkles in this really beautiful, glittery, fantastical kind of way? So in lighting the match, she creates this kind of fantasy land for herself. And in the light of one of the matches, she sees a beautiful Christmas tree that's decorated with candles and ruffles and glass ornaments and thousands of twinkle lights. And she finds great comfort in that, and it makes her feel wonderful until the match burns out. And she keeps lighting matches and going into these fantasy worlds with each light of each match. And then finally, with her last match she lights, her grandmother appears. And her grandmother is so warm and kind, and the little girl feels so happy to see her. And the grandmother picks her up in her apron and cuddles her close, and the child feels content until the grandmother begins to fade. And it's not her last match, because I think what she does then is she tries to keep striking and lighting more matches and more matches to bring the grandmother back to her, until finally there's no more matches and the little girl freezes to death. And in the morning, she's found frozen but gone. She's gone. Isn't that sad? Read the story. It's so much better when you read it. I'm sorry if I just sort of paraphrased the life out of it. I didn't mean to do that. But right after she tells the story, Clarissa Pinkola says, "This child lives in an environment where people do not care. If you are in one of those, get out." And that's a really powerful statement to make coming off this story, because the people of the village, they don't care for this little girl that they can see right before them is freezing to death and trying to support herself by selling these matches, you know, that she profits half a penny off of. So to say that she lives in an environment where people don't care, and if you're in one of those, get out, it demonstrates how story and metaphor, if you let it into your heart, if you let it get you all choked up, it can show you your own life in a really profound way than if you look at it directly. Sometimes the light of the moon can show you the light of the sun in a way that staring into the sun can burn your eyes. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes looking at your life, you can almost be blind to it. But then in reading a story that parallels it in a metaphorical way, all of a sudden you understand. And that's why in this book, you know, she emphasizes the two ways to get in touch with your soul is through nature and through creativity, the power of story, the power of myth, as Joseph Campbell told it. And then she also says, anyone who does not support your art, your life, is not worth your time. And I love that little place right there where she says, your art, comma, your life, because in a way, when I read that, I see your life is your art. And if you're a witchy person, that is totally going to make sense to you, because for me, the power in being a witch or someone who lives a really hippie, witchy, artistic kind of spirituality, it's like the art of spirituality. It's so creative. It engages all of your senses and brings your connection to the divine into your everyday life in a way that is really inspiring, so that your life does become your art. And this theme too of the little match girl, for me, this whole idea of anyone who does not support your art, your life, is not worth your time. If you're in an environment people don't care, get out. It ties in so perfectly again with this seen and heard challenge. Yesterday's challenge was shocking and moving, and I haven't even read all of the answers yet because they're long and deep, and a lot of them came in when I was sleeping last night and I just haven't had a chance to catch up. But oh my gosh, the challenge was about, you know, share a time in your life when you most longed to be seen and heard but you weren't, and then what did that feel like to you? And then I also went on to say, what can you do today to create that feeling for yourself? But the things that people shared were so personal and so much deeper than I expected. I just didn't imagine it was going to go there. So whoa, what a moving experience. And then to have everybody rise up and say, I see you, I hear you. I experienced that too. Or, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You're such a beautiful person. To see the support that rose up around those shares, oh, it just gave me chills. And it's about, you know, these are the people who are worth your time. These are the people who will support your life as your art. And it's, wow, holy cow. Go back and read some of those posts and you'll see what I mean. It's riveting stuff. But also in the story of the little match girl, she makes the distinction between comfort and nurture, which goes back to what I was saying about that, I can't even remember what I called it, the Mutual Admiration Escape Artist Society. So making the distinction between comfort and nurture. Comforting friends will say things that validate your choices, even your poor choices, and make you feel comforted temporarily, like those matches that were comforting the little girl temporarily before they went out. But nurturing friends will feed your soul. They will light the fire of your creativity in a way that has you actually up and at 'em and doing something to make a difference in your world. And there is a world of difference between these two kinds of friends. It's the difference between a drug buddy who's always there for you as long as you have the really good weed, and a friend who has the balls to say, hey, I think you're kind of fucking up in this one regard, and I love you too much to not call you out on that. How can I help you get back on your feet and taking care of yourself and your most precious dreams? You know, it's the tough love of genuine friendship versus the fleeting company of fair weather friends who stick around as long as you have the good food, the hot body, or the famous friends. You want friends who see who you are deep down inside and who cheer for that you to carry on. They support your creative endeavors. They support your creativity. They want to hear all about your every victory, and they see you, the real you. They hear you and feel you, and they make you come alive. They make you feel seen and heard. And this totally just popped into my head, but FYI, if you are doing the seen and heard challenge to win a coaching call with me, because I'm doing a drawing at the end of this challenge to award one person that participates in the whole week with a free coaching call. That's the kind of coaching call I am. I am like, tell it like it is, Joe, which really does make some people uncomfortable. So I should just tell you that right now, right up front. Some people just want to be supported in their choices, whether they're serving their highest good or harming themselves in some way. They just want to be supported, no questions asked. And that's not really how I roll. I'm a person who wants to serve in a way that pushes you beyond your comfort zone and gets you really moving on the big dreams of your heart. That to me that's what Kick-Ass Switch is all about. That's what being a Kick-Ass Switch is all about. It's about getting shit done in the real world in a real way that serves and inspires and makes your life worth getting out of bed every morning, hopefully with a smile on your face. And I just think I would rather not work with somebody who wants me to just sort of support them. It might feel okay. It might feel good, you know, to have somebody tell you everything you want to hear and just validate your every thought for you. But I just feel like that makes me feel sleazy, I guess. It makes me feel like I'm keeping you stuck. And I don't want anyone to pay me for coaching that's just going to keep them stuck. I don't want to just fluff people up, you know, for an hour once a week. I don't want to be like a rah-rah cheerleader that just makes you feel good in the moment. I want to make you think, and I want to like push certain buttons that have you taking actions in your life to where you might like even hate me for a second. Like, damn it, she's such an asshole, but look at me, I'm doing this thing. So when I talk to you a couple weeks later, you're like, oh my God, it worked. And you're proud of yourself. And then we have something to build on, something to work on. And that's the kind of tribe I want around me, too. I really I value that kind of friendship, and that's something that for me has only come with maturity. I can't even tell you how many friends I let go in my past because they didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, you know? And it was easier to party with the party people. We all looked awesome. We were all sexy. We all had the cool clothes, and we went to the best clubs. And it was so empty. In fact, here's another random thing that I don't even know ties into this, but I have a few minutes left, so I'm going to share it with you. We're just going to go woohoo down tangent road here today because the gardeners are here. I blame the gardeners. How about that? So the last time that I indulged in this party lifestyle where I was in with a VIP Hollywood crowd and rubbing shoulders with the celebrities and feeling like I was so cool, I had like an increasing sense of being dissatisfied because I was really going to these parties because I thought I was going to make the perfect connection that was going to get my screenplay sold or get my movie made. And that's not really how it worked. I mostly just got hit on. It was like an opportunity to get hit on. It was very odd, you know, and kind of empty. And one night I was at this very popular, hip, cool club that was actually down the street from my house. And it was getting really late in the night. And I looked around and I had this total like fear and loathing in Las Vegas moment. And no, I was not on drugs, but I looked around the room and everybody looked like lizards. It was like the reptilian people in the club. Everybody just had these like hungry eyes and they were just, you know, they were looking past the people they were talking to see if there was someone more famous or more important that they needed to get to, or they were just like wolf eyes or the girl that had the really hot boobs or whatever. It was just all just this weird, insatiable ick of like, what can I suck out of you? And I looked at my friends and they did not really look like friends to me. They looked like traveling companions on this funky, empty circus of ego gratification. And I, in my little slutty dress and my high heels, without even saying a word to anybody, I walked out of the club. I walked down the street in my high heels, feeling like I looked like a hooker because I was in Hollywood dressed like a hooker. I even had a guy like cruise me twice, went around the block to like slowly cruise me in my car and heckle me on my way home. But I had this turning point where I knew that was it. That was the last time as I was participating in that world. I just wanted to be home alone. I just wanted to be with my books. I just wanted to be with people who felt real, who I could hang out with in my sweatpants and laugh and talk about nerdy things and read books and that, all that good stuff. I literally walked away from that one kind of delusional fantasy friendship toward real connection. And that was a really significant moment in my life. I hope that demonstrates somewhat what I'm saying here. And, you know, everything I share here, it's personal to me in some way, whether it's something I experienced in the distant past, like the story I just shared with you, or something that I'm going through now. So I hope that serves you. If you want to work with me in a coaching capacity, just go to my website. You'll see a little link in the left-hand sidebar that says coaching that does not suck. I also do BizWitch coaching. So if you are the person who wins this, you get to pick whichever you want to do. The BizWitch coaching calls are a little more expensive, but you can pick whichever one serves you best. I'm totally down with gifting that to you. And then I just kind of silently slipped in that the autumn transition module for the psycho-spiritual wheel of the year is up. I posted that. So you can buy that now if you want. I left the summer solstice module up because it's so summery and fun. And I know a lot of you like to join in later. But that community rocks. And long after I'm done doing these public Facebook challenges, the real conversation takes place there because it's a private group and people feel, I think, more comfortable letting their hair down. Although props to you, those of you who let your hair down on my public page. You are brave, you are courageous, you are seen and heard and so very loved. So until we meet again, much, much, much love to you. Peace.